The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day on this All Saints Sunday to gather in His presence, to remember, to reflect, and to praise Him. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to encounter our Savior this day. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this All Saints Sunday morning. We pray that the Spirit will move in this hour of worship this day as we reflect and we lift praise to our God. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship today. I encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. You can drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are joining us this morning online on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online today. I do want to remind you, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There, pull up the worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our hour of worship today and for ministries coming up in the life of our church. I also just want to remind you, if you're a first-time viewer online today, we're glad that you found us. Send me an email this week and let me follow up with you and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. As you look at your bulletin today and see the ministry opportunities coming up this week, I do want to remind our Bible study group, our adult study will be at 4 o'clock this afternoon in our Bible study hidden. That's in the fellowship hall at 4 o'clock today. You can also join us online on Facebook Live for session 5 today. But again, if you can join us in person, I encourage you to do so. That's at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Looking ahead to this week, we have lots of ministries taking place on Tuesday and Wednesday. I do want to remind the church family that Tuesday, it is election day, and so our fellowship hall is used as a polling place for the town of Elon. So if you do come to the church on Tuesday, we encourage you to park on the lower parking lot and kind of stay away from the fellowship hall as that event is taking place on Tuesday. However, Tuesday morning, there's a senior adult breakfast at the Park at 9 a.m. Tuesday afternoon. We continue our bingo and birthday ministry at Golden Years at 1:30. If you want to help with that, you can talk to Sandy French this morning and let her know about that. And then, of course, Wednesday night is our choir practice at 6:30 p.m. You will notice in your bulletin, I hope you already noticed in your November newsletter, there's two new mission opportunities for the month of November, really. And the first one is our partnership with the Angel Tree Ministry, the Salvation Army Angel Tree Ministry. We do this every year, and we've always had a wonderful response from our congregation, and we are doing that again this year. Of course, you're thinking that's December, but actually all the collection takes place in November in time for December. So you'll notice in the foyer that our angel tree is already up. On that tree, there are 10 teen/children tags for young folks to purchase gifts for. And there's also 5 senior adult tags. This is something new for Salvation Army. Instead of collecting gift cards like they did last year, they're actually doing senior adult tags. So on our tree, there are tags up there. And all you need to do if you want to adopt one of these individuals, just take that tag off. But please make sure you write your name on that clipboard beside the designation code so we know who picked up which one. Those items will be due back the first Sunday in December. We will be collecting toys and other items like we do every single year for the Forgotten Angels, and that'll be on Sunday, November 30th. So go ahead and mark your calendar for that. Pick up some items for that day of collection. The second way mission opportunity for this month is as we draw close to the end of the year, our school students, our college students are also starting to face final exams. And I know that's hard to think about, but they're only a month away from being out for the fall semester. So we, here at First Baptist, put together study bags together for our Elon students that we support throughout the year. This year, we're going to try to put together 70 bags for our Elon students. And we want to encourage you to pick up some items, individually wrapped items. The things that are needed are in your bulletin. They're also in your newsletter. There's collection bins upstairs in the fellowship hall and in the communications center this morning. You can drop those items off before December 2nd is the deadline, and then we'll be putting 70 bags together for college students. So thank you in advance for your support for those two mission opportunities. I also want to remind you, if you haven't purchased any Brunswick stew yet, we still have a lot. And also, if you've already purchased a Brunswick stew and already eaten quite a few like my house has, go ahead and purchase some more. We have lots upstairs. If you need a seating, you can see Kramer, who will get some for you today following the worship service up in the fellowship hall. Again, it's $9 a quart. And then last but not least, and I'm speaking on behalf of Gay this morning as well, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the beautiful box of cards that we received last week. I don't know about Gay. I've already read through the box 3 or 4 times. And it just, the words that you shared and just the love that was shared through each of those words, we just want to say thank you. And it is a blessing to be able to serve you. We love serving here at First Baptist Elon and look forward to doing so for many, many, many years to come, right? But again, thank you again for those words. Now we gather here to encounter the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's encounter our God this day.
Our first hymn this morning is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I know you don't need the words, but they're behind me and in your pew if you need them. Let's stand and worship.
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 32, reading verses 1 through 7 this morning. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. We can gather here today assured that our God is our hiding place. He is our refuge. Let us go into him in prayer this morning. God of our forebears, you turn our world upside down. You teach us that neither wealth nor social status nor reputation can lead us to life. You remind us to focus on your kingdom, where the poor, the hungry, the sorrowful, and those persecuted for the gospel receive your blessing. Help us follow the example of the saints, that we may receive our glorious inheritance by living as Christ taught us to live. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord and teacher, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is How Firm a Foundation. Let's stand and worship together.
Oh,
the first Sunday following November 1st, which is known as All Saints Day, is often designated in churches across the world as All Saints Sunday, a day that we're called to remember and reflect on those individuals in our lives, family members, friends, church members, who have, as Scripture reminds us, fought the good fight, finished the race, and now are in the presence of their Savior. For many centuries, the Protestant churches overlooked this important day, leaving it to the Catholic congregations, who went as far as venerating the saints of the past and the present. However, I think it's important for every Christian church, Protestant churches, Catholic churches, our church here at First Baptist Elon, to reclaim this day of reflection and remembrance as a challenge to live up to our calling as Christian servants, to remember those in our church community who serve as inspiration to this important calling that we've all received, and also to create a safe space for grief, to remember our loved one and acknowledge the grief and separation that we feel from them until we return to them in eternity. This is why here at First Baptist Elon, the first Sunday in November, we celebrate as All Saints Sunday. As you'll notice this morning on our table and by the names listed in your bulletin, our congregation experienced the loss of four saints this past year. These saints were inspiring and examples of Christian service, and not just through the last year, but the many years of service, whether within these walls or other church walls or outside in the community. So this morning, we will light a candle in honor of the church members that we lost this year. But you'll also notice there is also a fifth candle. And this fifth candle represents all those other individuals in our lives, family members and friends that maybe that we still grieve today. Maybe we've lost them over this last year. Maybe we've lost them years ago, but we still come on this day remembering them as saints. Towards the end of our candle lighting ceremony, I'll give you the opportunity to lift those names up that are heavy on your hearts this day. But most importantly this morning, before we light any candle, you will recognize that there's one candle that's already lit. This is the Christ candle. The Christ candle, who as each one of these individuals will be lit in just a moment, is a reflection of this candle. When we saw and look at their lives, we see a reflection of Christ in them. And that's what saints are called to do. So we all gather in the reflection of the Christ candle this morning. At this time, will you honor and remember those saints that we have lost this year here at First Baptist Elon? Our first saint, Atwood Askew. Our second saint, Harriet Wissey. Our third saint, Patsy Vick. Our fourth saint, Reggie Vick. As you reflect on those names this morning, if you're like me, you have many stories running through your mind. It may bring a smile to your face, maybe a tear, but what it does remind us of is the example that each of these saints showed us through their lives of service. Now at this time, we turn to that fifth candle representing so many others. At this time, I'm going to provide the opportunity for church members to lift the names of individuals that are heavy on your heart this day. At this time, I open it up to the congregation. Mike Dupree. For those names that we've spoken out today, and those that are still heavy on our hearts and minds this day, we light this fifth candle. Would you pray with me this morning? Living God, in whom there is no shadow or change, we thank you for the gift of life eternal and for all those who, having served you well, now rest from their labors. We thank you for all the saints remembered and forgotten, for those dear souls most precious to us. Today we remember those during the last 12 months who have died and entered into your glory. Thank you for the inspiration and examples of service that Atwood asked you. Harriet Wissey, Patsy Vick, and Reggie Vick showed us as they walked this earth. We bless you for their life and their love and rejoice in knowing that all is well and all manner of things will be well. Holy Father, mindful of all those choice saints who have gone on ahead of us, teach us, your disciples that gather here today, to follow their example to the best of our ability, to feed the poor in body or spirit, to support and comfort the mourners and the repentant, to encourage the meek and stand with them in crisis, to affirm those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, to cherish and learn from the merciful, to be humbled by and stand with the peacemakers. Let us clearly recognize what it means to be called the children of God, and to know we are to be your saints, neither by our own inclination nor in our own strength, but simply by the call and the healing holiness of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And all God's people said, amen. I do want to thank the family members and the friends of these saints that we've lit a candle in honor of today. Following the service, I want to invite you to come forward to claim that candle and take it home with you as a reminder of this day, as a reminder of the saints in our presence, but also as a reminder of the call that we each have on our lives this morning. At this time, I'll call on Susan Reinheimer, our Deacon of the Week, for offertory prayer.
Will you join me in prayer, please? Dear Lord, we thank you for watching over us this past week so that we can be here. On this All Saints Day, remember the people who have passed this year and their special impact that they have had on our lives. I also like to thank you for the saints from the small country church I grew up in and my relatives and their life's example I still remember. Today, we also ask for your protection and blessing for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in Nigeria and all around the world. Help us all to treat everyone with respect and show your love. For those on our prayer list, we ask for healing and strength. We ask you to fill each of their needs as you know best. Now please take our offerings in them and help us use them in the best way to bless others. Tell them about Jesus and bring glory to you. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. If you would you once again join me in prayer this morning before we encounter God's word this day? Pray with me. Father, if we have placed our only hope in the things we can see and touch and have denied ourselves or those close to us that greater hope in the glory of things unseen, Lord, have mercy. If we've chosen to nurse our grief for the loss of dear ones with the bitterness of those who weep without hope or faith in your saving love, Christ, have mercy. If we put the saints on pious pedestals and restrict ourselves to a diminished respect for our own capacity to grow in the knowledge and love of God, Lord, have mercy. God of love, we thank you for your patience. You have given us many guides and helpers to inspire us and have given us the word that one day we shall be as Jesus Christ is, yet we have been slow to hear, reluctant to learn, and sluggish in our efforts. We repent this, our lack of faith and love, and ask that the love of Jesus Christ, which so healed and uplifted the saints, may mercifully deal with our sins and empower our renewed good intentions and our ultimate call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray this day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here on this All Saints Sunday morning. As I said before, it's so good to see family members and friends of those that we lit candles in honor of today. And we're thankful that you're able to join us for this worship service this morning. Know that we still grieve their loss. We still grieve their loss this day, yet know and reassured of their eternal home, and live in hope that we will one day join them in eternity when we are called home. So let's ask the question this morning, what makes a saint? One day a man was walking through a beautiful church building with his four-year-old son. As they walked, the young boy looked around and looked at everything. He suddenly stopped and was curious about the stained glass windows that looked so beautiful with their bright colors. As he looked at the windows, he asked his father, "Who are all the people in the windows?" The father quickly replied, "They are the saints." And as imagined, as any father with a four-year-old child had, the next question came pretty quickly. "Well, what are saints, Daddy?" The father was stuck. How was he going to explain who saints were to a four-year-old son? As the boy was still looking up at the windows and the father was still wondering how he would explain who saints are, the young boy suddenly shouted out, "I know who saints are. They are the people that the light shines through." Powerful words from a young boy. They are the people that the light shines through. Quite often we think of saints in the same way we may think of angels, or at the very least, only the very, very well-known people from the past, such as St. Francis or Mother Teresa. But if we look at Scripture, a saint is simply described as a follower of Jesus Christ. They become saints by being born again by the Holy Spirit, which can only happen through God. The people described as saints in the Bible were still very much human. They were called, they were holy, and they were extremely dedicated, both in terms of their attitude and in the sense of being set apart. But they were still real people, far from perfect. They were fishermen. They were farmers, tent makers, doctors, teachers, carpenters, business owners, former prostitutes, extortionists, outcasts, robbers, you name it, they were all saints. They were not infallible, and sometimes they even disagreed with one another. They were not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. However, they were on a journey. The journey of following Jesus, the journey of learning to be more and more like Him, which means becoming more and more loving, less and less judgmental, more and more accepting of others, and less condemning of others. As far as Scripture is concerned, Jesus is perfect, but Jesus' people are not perfect. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now we see a reflection in a mirror, then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known." Just think of all the mistakes that Peter, James, and John made that are listed in Scripture. They learned as they went along. They learned from their mistakes. They learned by allowing Christ to forgive them, by accepting Christ's forgiveness and moving on in Christ in love. We, as Christ followers today, are called to live as He did, out of that radical love. And so this morning, on this All Saints Sunday, I turn to some of Jesus' radical teachings of love that are found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 31. The words will be displayed on the screen behind me. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to this passage this morning. It's right in the middle of a long teaching in the Gospel of Luke, similar to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. But listen to these words. Looking at His disciples, He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in the day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, if we were to continue on in the gospel lesson and from Luke, we would also find that it says to lend expecting nothing in return, to be kind to ungrateful and wicked people, to be compassionate just as God is compassionate, to not judge nor to condemn others. Now, raise your hand today if you live like that all the time. We don't. We don't. But that's what we're called to strive to be. And even when we don't, God still calls us saints. You see, if you look in Greek and Hebrew in the Bible, and all the words that are translated out as saint, all have the exact same definition. According to the Bible, a saint is someone who is sacred, holy, pure, blameless, and dedicated. Of course, the word holy does not mean perfect. It means set apart to serve God. And the only way people can be pure and blameless is through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross, covering and washing away all of our sin. But it's that word dedicated. I think that's the word that we need to focus on this day. Now, that word dedicated is a very interesting word. Yes, a saint is dedicated. A saint may fall down, but a saint gets right back up again. A saint may fall into sin, lose their temper, hurt another by word or deed, but a saint asks God for forgiveness, accepts that forgiveness, and asks God for the strength to grow in love. That is what it means to be dedicated. A dedicated follower of Jesus Christ may not always love their enemies, but that is their goal. When they find it difficult to pray for those who mistreat them, a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ prays for those who mistreat them anyway. If a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ finds it nearly impossible not to judge another person, they admit this failure to God, and they ask God to help them not to judge again. They pray to God to help them love all persons, no matter who that person is, what that person looks like, or how they live their lives. And because dedicated followers of Jesus Christ are called to turn the other cheek, and if someone takes their coat, give them their shirt as well, dedicated followers of Jesus Christ pray to God, and they don't demand special privileges because they are a follower of Jesus Christ. Dedicated followers of Christ don't blast others from media, from the pulpit, or from the ballot box. There can be no doubt that this kind of living, this kind of lifestyle that we are called to live, is as radical as it can possibly get. And no one gets it completely right. Even the saints we honor today didn't get it completely right, but they did a pretty good job. And that's their inspiration. And that's what we learn from. No one gets it completely right. And if we begin to think that we've got it completely right, we're not getting it right. We've got it wrong. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And just like I preached last week, pride comes before a fall. Now, it sounds impossible, doesn't it? It sounds impossible to do what we're called to do. But in verse 20, we're told that Jesus raised his eyes to his dedicated disciples and said, "Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Happy are you who hunger now. Happy are you who weep now. But how terrible for you who are rich, because you've already received your comfort. How terrible for you who have plenty now, because you will be hungry." What are we supposed to do with all of it? What are we supposed to do with all this radical teaching that we struggle with, that the world tells us we're supposed to go the opposite side of, but Jesus says to do something else? Jesus turns things upside down and inside out again and again. Could it be that part of what it comes down to is that the things that he maybe preaches against, he speaks against, financial future, a full stomach, are not in themselves bad. However, they're not what we're called to strive to be, because they're temporary. Rather than being evidence of God's favor, prosperity can actually get in the way of our relationship with him and with other people. It can steal our love. To be truly happy and blessed is to have a relationship with God that is not in jeopardy. It's not dependent on these things. True happiness comes when we rely exclusively on God. That is what these saints do. That's what they lived out of. And that's what we're called to as well today. When we love Christ more, we love others better. It has been said that a saint is someone whose life makes it easier to believe in God. And I think we all have known people like that. We've identified four this morning: Atwood, Harriet, Patsy, and Reggie. And if we had not known such people in our lives, I doubt that many of us would be here on this Sunday. Most of us were given our first glimpse of Jesus through one of his saints. Maybe it was your mother or your father. Maybe it was a neighbor, a school teacher, a coach, a friend, a grandparent. Maybe it was a pastor or a member of a church family that you were raised in. Whoever it was, there was something about them. There was something about them that grabbed your attention, that set them apart, something that separated them from the rest of the crowd. Something special about them that intrigued us and caused us to want to have that something special that they had as well. They were the people who would go the extra mile for us, They were the people that would go the extra mile for anyone. They were the people we knew that we could count on no matter what. They were the people who made us feel loved. They were the ones who gave us just a glimpse of the divine. A pastor I knew, who I grew up knowing, told the story of his introduction to Christ, to his calling in life, to his holy, pure, blameless, and dedicated call. He was raised in a family that did not attend church. His father was a hardened man. This pastor, his name was Lee, when he was a young boy, Lee used to deliver newspapers. And I think the paper boy job has kind of gone past. It's not something we know about, the modern generation knows about today. But as we all know, a paper boy would get up very early in the morning, waiting for the distributor to drop the newspapers off at their house. Lee would bundle up 50 to 60 newspapers and get on his bike and go deliver the paper around his neighborhood before going to school. Paper boys would get to know their customers pretty well, and partially because they had to go collect the money for the paper later on during that week. Sometimes even the paper boy would get a tip for their good job. Now, one of the customers on Lee's paper route was a Baptist minister. And one day when Lee came to collect the paper money for the week, the minister said to him, "You know, Lee, I was wondering. I am the pastor at the Baptist church down the street here, and we do not have anyone to hand out the bulletins on Sunday morning. I wonder if you would be willing to come one Sunday and just hand out the bulletins to help us out." Now, Lee, the paperboy, was astonished. He had never been in church before, let alone handed out any bulletins at all, but he was honored that a man that he respected had asked him to do this, and he decided that he would give it a try one Sunday. The invitation to hand out bulletins at the Baptist church turned out to be a life-changing point in Lee's life. He met and was befriended by the dear saints of that congregation who loved him, took him under his wing, became his church family, and taught him about the love of Jesus. Lee ended up going to seminary, and from there had a lifelong ministry of loving others into God's kingdom. And even though Lee is well retired now, he never really did retire. He still visited the homebound. He still occasionally preaches every once in a while, and he actually teaches a Sunday school class every Sunday morning. I remember when I was ordained in this congregation and honored by so many saints in this church here, that even though Lee wasn't able to be here, he was in my mind that day. Lee and so many others like him have put their full trust in the Lord, given their complete lives to him in service and dedication, and have experienced more out of life than they ever could have possibly imagined. Because of this, they have also passed on that fullness of life, the key to the fullness of life to others, just like you, just like me. And for us, these people are saints. They're saints of God. They are the people through whom God's light shines through. Who are the saints in your life that have touched your life with the incredible love of Christ? Who are the individuals, and maybe these people are still alive, whose Christ's light has shined through for you to see? Who are those individuals today? Maybe they're members of this congregation. Maybe they have passed on and a candle was lit in memory of them this morning. We are to let Christ's light shine through us, like the light shining through the figures in the stained glass window for that four-year-old little boy to see in that church building. So what makes a saint? What makes a saint? A saint is someone through whom we catch a glimpse of what God is like. Is that what others see when they look at you? I hope so. And if not, it's okay. You've got some work to do. But he sure does like working on us. We thank God for the saints that he has placed in our lives through someone else who's told us who about the love of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the saints. Let's pray this morning. Father, I have a list of names of individuals whose lives have reflected your love and your light in my life. And for each, I give you thanks this day. And Father, I hope that each one of us that are gathered here today are thinking of those individuals, reflecting on those individuals, but not just about what they did, but what the legacy they passed on to us, which is to do the exact same thing. Father, we live in a world that needs to see you. And unfortunately, so many people are not looking up. They're looking down. They're looking around. And when they see us, may they see your love and your light shining through us. That is our call. We embrace it this day to make a difference in this world and to build your kingdom. Amen. As we come to our closing this morning, our closing hymn, it is a hymn of celebration. It's a hymn of reflection, but it's also a hymn of dedication. Today, I want to encourage you as you stand and as you sing these words that maybe you haven't reflected on those in your life that have been a reflection of that light. I encourage you to do so as we sing the song. I encourage you to do that this afternoon as well as you go home. I encourage you that today, maybe for the first time, you're ready to embrace the light, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. If you have not done that before, don't put it off. Meet me down at the altar. Or maybe today you're reflecting. You're just reflecting on the influence that these individuals have had on your life. It's okay to bow your head as we sing. You can sing the words with your eyes closed, or you may not sing the words at all, but you can still remember and reflect. Or if you want to come to the altar and lift their name up, you're more than welcome to. It's His altar. Whatever you need to do, make that decision today and remember the influence that He has had on our lives and He continues to have on our lives by the people that He places in it. Let us stand and celebrate and sing this morning. As we leave this place today, go out knowing that there's a world that needs to see the reflection of Christ. Let it be you this day and every day. Go in peace.